Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to the Worcester Reports, our 80th program. Get that. Today, Thursday, the 28th of November, 2019. Today you get the whole team, me, Tony Coppell, and a little later, Lorianne. On our November the 7th broadcast, we brought you Farrell van der Westerhazen, who spearheads highway ministry in this region. And he has a real passion for divinely ensuring the safety of road users, particularly traveling along that N1. And so he has organized a huge rally on Roo Road, just south of the N1 in the Worcester Nord Primary School Sports Ground. I'm going to be there, and I hope all of our listeners in Worcester will turn out at 6 o'clock that night. There's going to be a number of attractions, Yaffles, Panic Dech, Koik Drunk, and Skafris Te Koop. And you can therefore enjoy yourself as well as joining in this massive prayer effort when the founder of Highway Ministry will also be speaking.
On August the 8th, Louis LaGrange was our guest, and Louis and his wife Karika were the visionaries behind Legacy Relay. Today, for an insider view, we bring you Jean-Marie Coetzee, one of the two teachers whose classes we take over for an hour every Tuesday morning. The other one is Hanley. Both of them are excellent Grade 1 teachers, but they have other responsibilities in the school, as Worcester Primary School, including the recent Culture Night that we broadcast on October the 24th. And Jean-Marie organized a Christmas flash mob in the mall on the 22nd of November, which I just happened to be passing at the time, so I was able to post a video and pictures on my Facebook. So our lives have been quite intertwined with these two ladies for the last few months. Let's hear from Jean-Marie, first of all, about why she became a teacher, and secondly, from being at the receiving end of Legacy Relay. My guest today on the Worcester Reports is Jean-Marie Coetzee, and we have got to know her over the last few months. She's a teacher, and there's a particular thing that's brought us together, but I'm going to come to that a little later. We're first going to talk about her passion for teaching. So welcome to CWCP, Jean-Marie.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
Let's go back to the early days. When did you decide you wanted to be a teacher?
I went for the brain test where they see in what direction you should go, and then they actually said 100% I need to be an entertainer. So I was actually enrolled in Bloemfontein to go study drama, but then I realized I don't think I'm going to get a job in that because I'm a bit shy. So then I rather went to Potchefstroom and I studied teaching there in foundation phase, because with the kids you always have to act and entertain. Yeah, so that's how I got here.
So you're more than a teacher.
I'm an entertainer.
You're an entertainer. You are very entertaining, I must say.
Thank you.
Tell us a bit more about the education that you received to qualify as a teacher, because it's not something you just walk into, is it?
No, definitely not. It's a 4-year BA degree, bachelor's degree. And I was fortunate to study 2 years at the campus. And then the last 2 years, I was privileged to be at a school. So I was doing practical teaching. And I think that helped a lot, because what you learn in theory isn't necessarily what you apply practically. Yeah, so that was quite nice.
Now, you're at Worcester Primary School.
Yes.
There's quite a few schools in Worcester. It's, I think it's quite a hotbed of education, actually, isn't it?
Yes, it is, definitely.
But from what I've seen, Worcester Primary is an excellent example of education. That's my impression. When did you start here?
I started here in April 2015. It's actually a funny story also. My husband got called to come teach in Drostay, and I said, I can't come without a post. And then we prayed a lot. And I said, I don't want to come. And I prayed, I said, Lord, don't let us come here. And then I got the phone call, and here we are.
That must have given you a feeling that it's the right thing to be doing.
Yes, especially now, because now I don't want to leave.
What ages of children are you teaching, and what subjects do you teach?
I was always the grade 3 teacher. That's age 8, and then they turn 9. But now I'm at the grade 1s. They turn 7 in the year, and we have got to teach them maths, English, first additional language, which would be Afrikaans, and also life skills.
So you're actually teaching those various classes?
Yes, but we mostly integrate them all together. But yeah, we've got to cover all those aspects.
These are children, therefore, that are coming into the primary school for the first time. You're at the receiving end.
Yes, and they are very emotional in the beginning, but you won't believe how they grow throughout the year.
What surprised me is how well behaved they are. Now, is that because you crack the whip, or are these children particularly well behaved?
No, I gotta say it takes a lot to get them well behaved, to get them to behave, because the culture at home and the culture at school, it differs quite a lot. And to get them to go according to your way of teaching so they can fit into society one day, it takes a lot, but we get there.
Well, what's the secret? Because we have exactly that problem to solve as well, because we teach in other places. How have you done it?
I think when I say I don't know how I did, most people tell me, but it's because you do it with love and you're very strict, but you're firm. So I think that's the secret. You can't just tell them, keep quiet and not explain why. So at the beginning of the year, I explain to them why you have to keep quiet. And at the end of the year, when I say keep quiet, they understand, okay, that is why I have to keep quiet. And they do it. And the whistle works.
You're sitting in a house here, our house in Wokelerken Retirement Village. And I want to tell you that last week, there were some men who were doing some work on our neighbor's house. There were about 4 of them. And I think it was plumbing, or they were digging around and so on. And our window was very close to where they were. From the time they started to the time they ended, they never stopped talking for a second.
Oh, my goodness. That's unsafe.
So I'm thinking, if they have children, that's why the children here never stop talking.
It is. It's true. Because they can't stop talking. Even when you say keep quiet while you're saying it, they'll finish their sentence before they keep quiet.
Yeah. I don't know if this is just something unique to South Africa, but anyway, we mustn't get started on that.
No, let's not go to the politics.
Now, Worcester Primary was approached a few months ago by an organization called Legacy Relay. This was founded by Louis and Karika LaGrange. And we have known Karika for a long time because I'm one of her best customers. She's a pharmacist.
Oh, yes, of course.
When I say I'm the person who does the fetching and carrying, not so much of the swallowing.
Okay.
But my wife needs a lot of medication.
Sure.
What was your understanding of what Legacy Relay's vision was when you first heard about it?
When they approached me, I thought it's just people of an older generation coming to teach the learners of a younger generation how they did things and teach them to work with their hands and to do things that they don't necessarily learn anymore. Nobody teaches it to them.
And the word legacy suggests we're passing on the baton, or the word relay,
yes,
from the generation that has a lot of experience
And then sometimes we feel almost as if nobody's interested in us any longer, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But Legacy Relay seeks to actually make good use of more elderly people.
Yes.
And people who are retired particularly. And I did mention we're in a retirement village here.
Yes,
so
this a very beautiful one.
This is a hotbed of recruiting.
Yes.
And it is true that there are quite a number of teachers who live here who are now coming down various times during the week to Worcester Primary School, which is only 5 minutes away.
Yes.
By car. So it's very convenient. So that was what you expected. Did you at any time feel concerned and worried that these strangers without education degrees were going to come in and barge into your classrooms and make life difficult for you?
No, I've got to be honest, I never had that thought. I just thought that maybe the kids were going to go out of their cages. And surprisingly, they were still manageable. So it was very nice. And the kids fell in love with all the people they met, and they told me the other day they got 3 new grandmas and another grandpa, so they're ready. They enjoy it.
That's been my impression. Lorianne and I have been doing this now as teachers for about seven months? I couldn't believe it. But it is, actually, as long as that. And we've been coming in on Tuesday mornings from 7:30 to 8:30. And the first person we often see is you and your colleague Hanley, and we go into the grade one class. And we can't get in there now without them coming up and swarming and, wanting to hug and welcome us. So we feel extremely welcome there. So perhaps I'll just run over what we have been doing in that class with you being very helpful, and if we want, for example, photocopies of something, that you do it, or if we need some things of water or whatever. So we lead, first of all, we lead the children in praise singing. I bring my guitar with me. Then I teach them a small piece about science, just something that I can get across to them in 10 minutes or less. And finally, Lorianne teaches art. So that's in 1 hour, we're covering 3 different things. And I must say that from our point of view, they are such a wonderful group of people. Right from the moment we start, they are looking at us, they are paying attention. I very seldom do we have to sort of bring them to order. Sometimes it's natural for a group that size to start chattering if you're not actually talking to them. That's exactly what I would expect. But they've never been a problem from our viewpoint. So let me ask you, in this class, in this grade one class, how do you feel that it has worked out so far?
I think it worked out perfectly because the kids, a lot of them have different personalities. We've got the kids like me who like to work through music and through listening and working together. Then we get the kids who's more left brain. They like to work through the left brain, so they like the science part of what you bring. And then we get the arty kids, the right brain kids. And I think all that you do just brings everything together again. And each child gets to experience something new every week, something that they don't necessarily learn at home, and nobody can teach it to them. So I really think it was amazing, especially the end result. If you ask the children now a question like, I can't even pronounce the word you taught them, a very long word, and one of the kids came to me the other day and they said the word. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they explained this entire thing to me, and the end product of the Christian symbols that they drew, it's amazing. It's so beautiful, and it's something they're going to remember for the rest of their life. What did you learn in grade 3? We did this. It's really awesome.
Actually, you just mentioned this thing about Christian symbols. I think this is worth talking about.
Yes.
Because this was entirely Lorianne's idea from the inception, and it's worked out very well indeed. She asked me to go and buy a large canvas, which, by the way, is not made of canvas. It's made of cotton, but it feels like canvas.
Yeah, it looks like
and
canvas.
Quite a big one, anyway. Yes. It's about 4 foot by 3 foot. And we started by using watercolor pencils, getting the children. She didn't do any of this talk. She just got the children to shade in different areas. Yes. So we split the class into four groups, 1, 2, 3, and 4, and they came up in sequence. And they just did various sort of washed in colors from these watercolor pencils.
Yes.
And then I think once that was done, we then actually got the water involved, because these pencils react with when you put spread some water on them.
Yes.
And then you dab various things on it. I won't try and explain it, but it gives a sort of an effect, a little bit like a Turner watercolor.
Yes.
And so already the children were seeing work that they had done looking rather like a painting, really.
Yes.
And now the object down the line was always to teach them some Christian symbols like the cross and the dove and angels and so on. So while some of the kids were actually doing things, the others were all practicing their Christian symbols. And they did this for quite a few weeks.
Yes.
So when the time came for them to get started putting their symbols on top of the background they'd already created, they all had a favorite symbol that they wanted to put there. So they did this. It was fairly light, just in pencil, and they all did that. So we must have had, I don't know, there's about 35 of them, or 40, aren't there?
41.
41. So we had 41 of these symbols. And this last week, Lorianne has been just filling in those symbols with a little bit darkener and adding a little bit of this and that. And so we presented it to the children this morning, and there were a lot of oohs and ahs when they saw their work, and it really was their work. All she had done was brought it out a little bit so that you could see it, because they just had drawn them in pencil. So that piece of art is now in the property of the school, but I think the whole thing really worked well. I think the kids thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, they did.
And now they can see something they have created right there.
And which is very beautiful.
With a bit of luck, while they stay at the school for a few years, it'll still be there. And they'd say, I did that bit. I did that bit.
Yes, and they're going to see I drew a rocket instead of a symbol.
We're trying to figure out where rockets came from. But
we're busy with the theme space. Ah. And I think they got a bit confused there.
I'm saying this because our listeners may just be curious to know the kind of thing that we're doing. There's an example of the art. And Lorianne's been an artist for many years, so she has got a lot of experience and so on, and she loves teaching children and sharing with them. Now, we aren't the only seniors doing this in WPS. Lorianne is not technically a senior yet, depending on how you do it, but I definitely am. do you know what the other classes are being taught?
I'm very privileged
to
have another grandma and the oma, that's what we call them, on Friday also, but only in my class.
Mm.
And they have taught us, and we're still looking for the English word, but we can't find it. They've taught us to tolikibrei, and they've also taught us to make pom-poms, and now they're taking the kids for extra reading classes. And the same in the other classes. As far as I know, they also help the learners with their reading, especially, because that's the main problem we have is the reading and the sounding. So that's what we get help with.
So there's quite a bunch of us doing this throughout the week. And you were kind enough to invite us to a culture night we saw many of the children from the school performing on the stage. And there's a lot of talent in this school.
A lot.
And some very talented teachers, if I might say so, who are passing on their talents. And particularly in music and drama, I suspect.
Yes, so, if it's your passion, it's your passion.
Yes. Now, do you think that this kind of passing on of experience and knowledge could work in any primary school?
I think so, yes. The teachers, especially first, and then the learners, they should just be open to it and be willing to learn something. Then definitely. Because at the end of the day, you don't just learn something practically. Most of those kids, they need the love that they get there. They don't get the love at home always, but they don't have a grandma or a grandpa anymore, and that's exactly how they see the Legacy Relay people. It's another grandma, another grandpa, someone to hug, someone to love, and that's what they want.
Because this is in its infancy, Legacy Relay. It's just started. There's a board, and Louis and Karika put an awful lot of time and thinking and effort into it. They're wonderful people to lead it. But I know that they'd like to see this spreading. And yes. I think it's got tremendous potential.
Definitely. Not only for the learners, but also for, I don't want to say the old people, for the senior citizens. I think it's very beneficial for them also, because a lot of them feel lonely maybe, or they feel lost. Nobody cares about them, like you mentioned. And as soon as you get out there again and you open yourself up to go to kids and you're not sure what's going to happen, I think at the end of the day, it's positive to both sides, both generations.
Mm.
Definitely.
I just want to say a word about the concept of having senior citizens sharing their knowledge with younger people. Now, I was in industry for many years, and I loved it so much I worked for an extra 10 years past the retirement age.
Wow.
I had a super job. I loved it. And I had learned a lot in the 23 or 24 years that I'd been in that industry. But nobody ever asked me, or very few. There were very few occasions when I was asked to share my knowledge.
Yes.
And I know that I had information and knowledge that would have been beneficial.
To share, definitely.
So it is not normal and not natural to use the skills of senior people to bring to younger people. And it's even almost negative, because there is a thought process amongst some levels, whatever generation you want to aim, that they want to create their own world, and they don't really want to listen to older people.
That's true.
So what you're doing is you're reversing this whole idea and showing that the opposite is actually true.
Yes.
So we've been talking about children, but I didn't ask you what the children's feelings were about this. What's your impression? Because you work with the children all the time. Do they like this, or do they love it, or what's their...
90% of them were totally ecstatic over it. Every time it's Monday, they'll say, "Are Uncle Tony and Auntie Lorianne coming tomorrow?" On a Thursday, they'll say, "Are the grandmas or the omas coming tomorrow?" They'll make me crazy. So they really, really enjoyed it. And the other 10%, they loved it on a different level. There's not one child I can say who didn't like it. They all were always very excited. So definitely it was worth it.
Well, you made us feel this morning extremely special, because there were gifts, things to eat, lots of things to eat. We totally did not expect that. I mean, when you're having a whole lot of fun, you don't expect anyone to sort of give you something for having fun. But it made us feel really very much a part of the school and the wonderful atmosphere that you and the other teachers have created there. So I was so surprised, I didn't really know what to say.
Well, Hanley and I just had the idea of, because you guys really opened up to us about this whole journey that you're going through now with Auntie Lorianne, and we just realized how tough it must be on you. Not that we think you're struggling or anything, it's just we would like to make it easier for you, especially in the festive season. Christmas is about family, not about standing in front of the stove, worrying, what am I going to make tonight? So we just wanted to make it easier for you. So we decided, instead of having a big farewell party for the grade ones this year, we're rather going to ask them to bring something. And I can't believe the turnout. It was amazing. This morning when the kids came in, and they started bringing money from last week already, but when they got to school this morning and they came with the money, I was in awe. I said to Louis outside, he also didn't know, but when I saw Louis outside, I said to him, "You know what? This is so overwhelming with all these kids and all these parents caring so much." So it's only a pleasure. It's only love. That's what it is.
Well, we are going to continue next term. Mainly, to be honest, because we would feel withdrawal symptoms if you didn't let us.
No, definitely.
So hopefully Lorianne will still be well enough to do this.
Yes.
She really loves it. She really gets off on it. And we look forward to it very much. It is certainly not work. It is just having a a great time with wonderful kids.
That's true.
We actually came here to South Africa to do ministry for kids. That's our primary number one objective, and it remains that. So this was a wonderful thing that just happened by chance to us, and we feel very blessed.
Yeah, we feel very privileged.
So I admire your enterprise, you as a teacher, not sort of saying, no, I don't want those people coming in. Instead, welcoming us right from the first. And all the other teachers who have got senior citizens now in their classes. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much. And I hope people who hear this broadcast might consider, wherever you are in the world, doing something like this.
Yes, definitely. It's worth it.
It takes quite a lot of hard work, the organizing. I won't say it doesn't, but the rewards are way better than you might have expected.
That's true.
So, and we even hope that we might be able to do this in Canada when we go back, and we have a number of local schools that we feel would be interested in that. And so,
that would be great.
Yeah, we'll keep it going. Jean-Marie, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you,
on CWCP.
It was very nice being here. I love the atmosphere here. Maybe I'll move in.
You are way too young to move in.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God.
Growing in and through God's peace. My name is Laurianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we journeyed through growing in courage. We found that true courage is a gift from God, but it is also developed as we choose to focus on our source, God. This is what David did when he confronted Goliath in a mighty way to defend God's honor to the Israelite army. Courage, strength, and joy are connected, as the joy of the Lord is our strength. But so too is courage. Courage goes beyond the ability to stand and not back down. It's also strength in the face of pain and grief, especially in the example of fighting an extended illness with great courage. The illness could be cancer or many invisible disabilities that bring daily pain and discouragement. This is why courage to face the day is needed. Canadian prophet Darren Canning recently shared a great example of courage. He said, "One person in a war may seem like one piece of sand on the seashore, but one filled with courage can speak to the wildest waves and then will have to obey." Everyday courage is also shown in your life wherever you are. Perhaps you are looking at your own situation through your perspective. God wants you to come up higher to where He is, so that you can view the things that make you feel small and weak. Instead, be strong and accept His strength in you. To move forward, it's best to face your deepest fears. Through God's perspective, those fears are small, and He helps you move through it to conquer. You are a warrior. Now we're going to learn about peace, which, to be honest, has been a difficult topic to nail down. Peace is not just the absence of war and strife, but it is something that many people give a toast towards. They clink their glasses and say, "To world peace." I doubt that would happen, especially in some troubled spots, but we like to think that we have a handle on the situation. We care. A Christian version of that is to remember those who fought in World War I and II, as well as later conflicts. There are so many. We remember them on Remembrance Day, November 11, at 11 in the morning. The British call this Armistice Day, and the Americans call it Veterans Day. It's important to remember those who work to protect us from harm, like the military and the police. I remember when I was part of a church choir. I loved to sing. There was a song that we used to sing that goes, "Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me." If you know it, that mention may put the tune in your head. It's a good thing to remember. Peacemakers are special people put in difficult situations. They can be military, chaplains, or ordinary folk like you and me. Many times in church history, missionaries and pastors have been used to diffuse situations. I remember reading some Olia Nell books about Andrew Murray's life. He diffused many storms during his ministry in Bloemfontein, as well as being used as an instrument of revival in the Cape Awakening in the 1860s. Peacemaking is one aspect of stewarding God's grace and peace. Ken Sand has written a few books on resolving conflicts. I read through much of his book, The Peacemaker. He talks about the four G's of peacemaking. These are, number one, glorify God. How can we please and honor God in this situation? Glorifying God benefits you as well as inviting the Holy Spirit into the situation. Number two, get the log out of your own eye. How can we show Jesus' work in me, taking responsibility for our own contribution to this conflict? Jesus challenged the Pharisees in Matthew 7, verse 3. He said, "Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own?" Sometimes our own sins and struggles color your perspective and worsen the situation. Number three, gently restore. How can I lovingly serve others to help take their own responsibility? Number four, go and be reconciled. How can I demonstrate the forgiveness of God and encourage a reasonable solution to this conflict? Ken also notes that when people hurt you and you respond in pain, he has a solution for that. Instead of reacting harshly or seeking revenge, God calls us to be merciful to those who offend us. Luke 6, verse 36 says, "You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate." We cannot serve others this way in our own strength. We must continually breathe in God's grace through Bible study, prayer, worship, and Christian fellowship. You need to have peace to be a peacemaker. Running away from conflict is not the answer, although temporarily it may give a little break. It's not a long-term solution. But when you are in a situation and show God's glory in diffusing it, there is a special blessing for you. Matthew 5, verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God." Now, all who come to faith in Jesus are sons and daughters, so this likely means peacemaking is very much a part of our role at some time or another. Peace is also something that combats uncertainty. When you have confidence and trust in Jesus, you can have peace that while you aren't in control, He is. You can't do anything about what you can't control. If the storm or situation feels too big, He will help show you the steps one by one to take to resolve the issue. God is faithful and will finish what He started and will fulfill His promises. Philippians 1 verse 6 shares that, "God is the one who began this good work in you, and I am certain that He won't stop before it is complete." Max Lucado shares in his book, Be Anxious for Nothing, on how to diffuse the anxiety that comes when you are overwhelmed and you don't feel in control. He confirms my thoughts that when you believe that God is sovereign and in control, you have a measure of peace. He says, "Belief always precedes behavior." For this reason, the Apostle Paul, in each of his epistles, addressed convictions before he addressed actions. To change the way a person responds to life, change what a person believes about life. In the treatment of anxiety, a proper understanding of sovereignty is huge. Anxiety is often the consequence of perceived chaos. If we sense that we are victims of unseen, turbulent, random forces, we are troubled. So the formula is simple. Perceived control creates calm. Lack of control gives birth for fear. Here's an example. A team of German researchers found that a traffic jam increases your chances of a heart attack threefold. Makes sense. Gridlock is the ultimate loss of control. You may know how to drive, but that fellow in the next lane doesn't. We can be the best drivers in history, but the texting teenager might be the end of us. There is no predictability, just stress. Anxiety increases as perceived control decreases. We want certainty, but the only certainty is the lack of it. This is why the most stressed out people are control freaks. We can't take control because control is not ours to take. The Bible has a much better idea. Rather than seeking total control, relinquish it instead. You can give it to God. Peace is within reach, not for lack of problems, but because of the presence of a sovereign Lord. Instead of rehearsing the chaos of the world situations or a personal crisis, instead, rejoice in the Lord's sovereignty, as Paul did. To read Paul is to read the words of the man who, in the innermost part of his being, he believed in the steady hand of a good God. He was protected by God's strength, preserved by God's love. He lived beneath the shadow of God's wings. Do you? It's a choice. Do you want to live in fear or let go and live in peace? Peace is also a fruit of the Spirit, as shown in Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Peace is a supernatural byproduct of getting closer to Jesus. If God is peaceful by nature, then to get close to God is to live in His peace. The nearer we move to Him, the more of His peace we can experience. Thankfully, the Bible provides us specific guidance on how to be closer to Him. James 4, verse 8 shares that if we come near to God, He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If you are genuinely seeking Him, He will not turn you away. Matthew 7, verse 7 promises us, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." That promise is the Holy Spirit, and this includes peace. The Apostle Paul also advises us in Colossians 3, verse 15. He said, "To let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." I read quite a few readings on peace from my former employer, Darren Canning, to the editors of Christianity.com. Let's hear Darren's prophetic words on peace. When I read his message, think about trusting Jesus and letting Him carry you. Darren shares that God's peace drips on us like dew when we are in His presence. His message is called "His Peace in the Storm." When I hear these words, I think of Jesus being asleep in the boat while His disciples were fearful due to the storm. And when He woke up, He was still at peace and commanded the wind and waves to be still. And they were. That is peace in the storm. Peace wins out over fear. Look up the story in Mark 4, verses 34 to 31. Here's Darren. The term "fear not" occurs in the Bible 365 times. This is one for every day of the year. There is a reason that "fear not" is in the Bible that many times, and that is because as people, we deal with all kinds of fear. But you do not have to fear in Christ. Darren says that healing of the mind is really healing from fears. What is the fear that you need to overcome today? Jesus is the answer for it. Darren met two older women recently who told him that he had a fear of heights. So to overcome that fear, they went parasailing in Florida. Afterwards, they told him that he still had a fear of heights. That might seem funny, but we do all kinds of things in the natural to try to overcome our fear, but really, our fears are healed in Christ and God. What is your fear today? Are you afraid of being alone? Are you afraid of the dark? Are you afraid of losing it all or dying? Whatever you are afraid of, God has the answer for that fear. Psalm 23, verse 4 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Darren shares that his precious peace in my heart says to me that everything is going to be okay. There are times I don't feel peace, and I even forget to pray in those times. For a little while anyway, his peace is not with me, but then I remember him again, and his spirit is with me. His spirit inside of me is the assurance that I will pass through the troubled waters. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." This passage in Isaiah actually represents a promise from God. Your anxiety and fear may feel like a fire, but the Lord will meet you in the fire. Just pray. Just seek him. Declare his name over that storm that you are facing today. The waters may be churning inside your life, but he is the one who can end the storm. He will be with you through every trial and every problem. You will overcome this world by the power of God within you. Darren says that God's peace drenches him like dew. When Darren becomes aware of it, things have a way of turning around. God is able to make all grace abound in his life, and he does. Stay close to him today and watch as he shifts you into a new mindset. This goes back to what Max Lucado shared earlier. When we believe Jesus and his care for us, we know we aren't alone. Jesus is with us, walking with us. And when we look into his loving, fiery eyes, we can't help but have softened hearts and know that he cares for every detail. Peace is also very important as a confirmation in decision-making. Just as I was writing this devotional, a teacher friend told me that her husband was offered a wonderful work position in Clanwilliam. However, it would mean leaving his wife and child behind in a time when they want to have another child. He said no to the opportunity because he did not have peace about it. And when he shared his decision with his wife, she felt such deep peace that she could stop, breathe, and feel the peace come and fill her like a waterfall. What is the peace of God? Is it just goosebumps or fleeting moments? It doesn't have to be. We can live in peace as we desire more and more of God. It's one of the benefits of being with him. When I was diagnosed with cancer, I felt a very deep peace when the doctor gave me the news. I had a picture of Jesus carrying me, and since then, he still is. Peace, joy, and a positive attitude were part of the reason why the tumor had already shrunk 60%. Think of it, 60%. That's not just the chemo, it's God. It's also the prayers of the children we teach and the teens we disciple. It's the prayers of many churches in the Western Cape and Eastern and Southern Ontario. There are so many factors, but they are all weaved together by God through his deep peace. Elizabeth George writes devotional books. One of them is Experiencing God's Peace, which is a Bible study on Philippians. I recommend this book since normally Philippians is seen as a book of joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. Paul was in custody as a prisoner and chained to a guard all of the time, yet he had joy and he had peace. As he got to share the gospel with his guards, he had joy in counseling the Philippian church. In the midst of her study, Elizabeth shares, "But our wonderful God has provided real peace for us as his dear children, and this includes you." What a splendid thought to know that even Jesus stated in John 6, verse 33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but you will have the provision of God's peace in every circumstance through all of life." She even pairs together grace and peace as supernatural power twins in Philippians chapter 1. This is part of Paul's greeting to the church. It's not a throwaway line. This is Paul's prayer in verse 2. "May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace." These two together are like strength, perseverance, and deep peace. Wouldn't you love some of that? And then I read the very core of what God's peace really is. It's not something that is fleeting. It can last a long time. Here's the take on peace from the editors of Christianity.com. According to the Bible, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is the harmony and calmness of body, mind, and spirit that supersedes earthly circumstance. Nearly all of the letters of Paul start with the phrase, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Throughout Scripture, we find that peace is defined as a blessing from God and harmonious with his character. The Apostle Paul shared in Philippians 4, verse 7, that after we pray and leave our concerns with God, this happens. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God can also be described as a tranquil state of appreciation and faith. It happens especially when we submit to and trust the commandments of God in Christ. It requires a mixture of humility and courage to experience God's peace, seeking beyond the mere abilities of our own understanding. Sometimes we just don't understand, but that's okay. We don't see the whole picture. Proverbs 3, verse 5 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. The next verse tells us to acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. We need to trust God and let go of our fears. Most of the fears are about things that won't happen anyway. Ask Him to give you that peace. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 shares a wonderful prayer of peace. Paul prayed, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The nearer we move to Him, the more of His peace we can experience. Daniel Pontius also shares about that perfect peace in a deep way. He says that this otherworldly peace has the capacity of not just safeguarding you in your life, but also shifting the atmospheres and circumstances wherever you go as well. Philippians 4, verse 7 speaks into our hearts, "And God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." This powerful peace bypasses your natural understanding because it will be there when you shouldn't normally be experiencing such peace. Then if you take it and speak to the storms of your life with it, it will even silence those storms around you as well. Whether they are in your life or in the lives around you, this powerful heavenly force of God will be your ally when you need it the most and expect it the least. Jesus told us in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." So as I close, I pray over you the perfect peace that you need in your situation. It's not manufactured by us. Our part is to stop, breathe, and seek God. Give Him your situation. And if you don't know Jesus yet, give Him your life. Don't worry. Jesus cares for you deeply. Take a deep breath and walk forward. Jesus is standing right before you. Will you let Him carry you? Will you let Him give you His deep peace? Don't be anxious. Offer yourself and your request to God. Jesus is listening. Holy Spirit is ready to touch and fill you. He will wash away sins and heal your heart as you continue to give all your hurts to Him. Lord Jesus, I thank You for Your perfect peace. It's not a worldly peace, but a supernatural peace that we all want more of. We also want You. You are the perfect Prince of Peace. Thank You for all You did and do for us. Thank You for everything. Fill the hearts of all who are listening. You are real. And You are a very personal God. In Jesus' name, Amen. Remember, do not be anxious about anything. And in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present those requests to God. Don't forget. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Couples Western Cape Radio.
Peace by Sherry Youngwood. And I hope you feel a strong sense of peace after Lorianne's talk. We're almost at the end of today's broadcast, but I'm going to play another song on the subject of peace before we do our regular soaking prayer postlude. And this song by John Robinson includes the very words that Lorianne referred to when she was quoting from the Bible during her talk. So I thought it was appropriate. We wish you all well. We wish you all peace. And we look forward to being with you a week from today. We've been mightily blessed by our time with Legacy Relay, and I was so pleased to bring you today's interview with Jean-Marie. This is Tony signing off from the Worcester Reports.
The God of peace. sanctify you through and through. May your whole self be kept blameless for that day. When Christ comes again.